God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Children of God, I say hallelujah. Children of God, I say hallelujah. If you're happy, I want to hear the loudest amen. If you're happy to be in his presence, shout the loudest amen. By the special grace of God, I want to beg you in the name of God. I want to beg you in the name of God. Pay attention because we have something serious but very simple to deliver. The Lord wants to speak to us this morning on a topic. Please, can we have the topic? Praise God. Praise God. If you're happy seeing the topic, celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Oh, the way you are clapping, it seems as if you don't understand that topic. We are privileged people. Bride Assembly, we are privileged people. I want you to clap that hands as if you know you are the type who has been receiving a good meal. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so excited on this topic that it's time to focus on the message and not the signs. And in a bracket, what did he say in bracket? Pharaoh, let my people go. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Permit me to say this. This topic came to me during our study in Bible Club. If you know you are here, you belong to Bible Club, shout amen. Only those that are in Bible Club, there is a group in this church that is called Bible Club. You know you belong to Bible Club, shout amen. Very few. I'm using this opportunity to introduce you to Bible Club. The Lord is doing wonders in that Bible Club. The Lord is doing wonder. If you are in Bible Club, you will attest, you will testify that truly the Lord is doing wonder in that Bible Club. So I encourage you to be part of that club. You will learn a lot. And as you do, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. I say praise God. Praise God. The message says, focus on the message, not the signs. If you look at that picture we have, or that image we have, you will notice that how many case studies do you think we have in that image? Can anybody tell us? How many case studies do we have in that image? This is Bible class. This is Sunday school teaching. How many images do we have, or how many case studies do we have in that image you are seeing? I want a brother to answer us. Can any brother answer us? How many case study, or how many objects, or how many whatever you can see in that image? Any brother has idea?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have 4 case studies. Yes, sir.
4 case studies. Do we agree with this, our brother? Anybody objecting? Objecting that? Is anybody objecting it? Mama is objecting. Oh, you are not objecting. Anybody objecting it? If you're objecting, can I see your hands up? Our brother says there are 4 case studies or 4 things you can see in that image. Nobody is objecting it. That means our brother is perfectly correct. Celebrate Jesus by clapping for him. Praise God. So let's quickly look at that object, or that image rather. Now, what are the things we can see there? One, what can we see there? We can see Moses. That picture depicts Moses. Now, we can see that Moses is with something. What is that? Talk to me. Rod, thank you. After the rod, what can you see there? You can see snakes, but 2 types of snakes. Okay? Praise God. Now, what can you see? You can see 2 men there. Who are those 2 men? Pharaoh, man. These are Bible students. Please celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Perfect, 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 perfect. Now we are coming back to that picture. Now, the message says, focus on the message, not the signs. Now, someone may ask, what is our brother trying to say? Is Brother Uzo trying to say that signs are not relevant? Is Brother Uzo saying that signs are not important? No, I am not saying that signs are not relevant. Because if you read Mark chapter 16, let's see Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Or let's start from verse 17. Mark 16, 17. What did he say? Let's read that together. And these signs, let's read it together. And these signs shall what? Shall follow them that what? That believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Who was making this statement? Who was making this statement? The Lord Jesus Christ was making this statement to not only to his disciples, he was making this statement to as many that believe. Hey, that means I am part of that scripture, or I am part when it comes to that scripture we just read, I am in that scripture, meaning that if I believe what the apostles did, I will likewise do it. Oh, you are not getting me. Are you getting me? Now, let's continue with that scripture. We are not done with that scripture. Look at it. Let's continue. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Shall recover. This is what Jesus is saying, that these signs shall follow them. So when I say focus on the message, I'm not trying to rule out the signs, but there is something we must know, that we live in a generation where signs and wonders has gone beyond the message. Oh, let's see another scripture. Give me another scripture. Let's see another scripture. Praise God. Praise God. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 to 5. What did he say? He said, Apostle Paul is saying something. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not what? Was not the enticing words of what? Of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and what? And of power. So we are in a generation where people have claimed these two scriptures I read, and they have gone far in exhibiting different kinds of signs. Look at another scripture. Give me another scripture. Hebrews. Hebrews. Yeah, let's see that Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. What did he say? And God, and what? And God. God also bearing them what? Witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and what? And gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Underline, leave that scripture first. Leave that scripture. Let me read it again. And God also bearing them witness, both with signs and what? And wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So the signs and wonders are supposed to be not according to the will of man, but it should be according to God's will. But we live in a generation where many are what? Are displaying all kinds of signs, not according to God's own will, but according as their will. Why are they doing that? Because the source of the signs and wonders are not directly coming from God. They acquire these signs and wonders from their own source, from the devil, So they are in any position to express it or to carry out the way they want, not the way God wants it. Praise God. Now, before we go further, let me quickly narrate something. Now, many of us, we have heard about our pastor mentioning a man called William J. Simon. I don't know, have anybody heard about that name? If you heard about that name from our pastor, say amen. Now, this man called William J. Simon was a man whom God used. God used him mightily in 20th century. That is, in 90s. God used him mightily in where? In, who can tell us? Anybody has idea? Who has idea? Okay, give me my mic, please.
Pentecostalism, okay. Holy Spirit baptism. Oh, Pentecostalism, the third stage of our journey. It's after him that perfection stage comes.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. Perfectly correct. Pentecostalism. Now, you can use the word. It is in his era that we saw what we call Azusa Street Revival. Now, Azusa Street Revival was a revival that God himself lead them. They were not led by themselves. This Azusa Street Revival was too powerful to an extent that the impact of that Azusa Street Revival is being felt almost all the continents of the world. All the continents of the world, if I'm not mistaken, especially in Asia, in America, where it took place in California, and not only that, also in Africa. It was too powerful. God came down raw using this man called William J. Small. William J. Small. God used him so powerful that anybody who was in that era or in that time, they saw the move of God very mighty. But there is something we need to catch from there. One, these men that God used in that Azusa Street Revival, they were not the majority. I don't know, they were not the majority. In fact, from history, we are told that this William J. Small was from a slave. In fact, his father happened to be a slave. Praise God. Now, God did not use the mighty people as then, but he decided to use the minorities. He decided to use the outcasts. He decided to use people who are not notable. Now, confirming a scripture that says that God is what? He uses the foolish things to do what? He uses the foolish thing to confirm to the wise, making us to understand that when God wants to use you, your PhD, your qualification is of no use to him. I don't know. It's no use to him. So when he wants to use you to carry out mighty signs and wonders, what he just needs from you is quite different from what you think you have. Praise the living God. Now, why did I bring this thing up? I brought this thing up for you to understand that although it was God that came down in that Azusa Street Revival to perform the signs and wonder, the Holy Ghost movement, but we live in a generation, we live in the world where so many people, especially Africans, have gone far in carrying out signs and wonders. To an extent that, brother, come close. Just come close. To an extent that, just say, do you know there are some ministers, there are some pastors or prophets, once they move their leg like this, what happened? Hey, you don't see it? Are you not seeing it? Okay, let's do it again. You have not seen it before. If you're like, go. If you're like, now you can see, they have so much power in their legs. To an extent that anyhow they move their leg, the person moves. I am not saying that Holy Ghost cannot do that. But listen to me, 99% of them that perform such are not from God. 99% of them. They extract their power from. So you can see that we live in a generation where the rate of signs and wonders have gone too far. To an extent that people now, oh, look at Give me Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. Jesus made a statement there. Matthew 12, 39. What did he say? Let's read it together. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation. Do what? Oh, you are not reading with me. Let's read it together. What did he say? But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation. Do what? Seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign be given to it. But the sign of who? The sign of who? Prophet, you know what happened to Jonah? Jonah was in the belly, in the fish belly for how many days? For 3 days. So this one I just exhibited with this brother. And the one that Jesus is speaking, which one is greater? Oh, you are not getting me. Which one is greater? Jesus only is greater because Jesus is going to suffer in the hands of his enemy for how many times? For how many days? For a good 3 days. And after that 3 days, the vein that has made you and I not to our throne, not to approach the throne of mercy, will be unveiled. So the greatest power, the greatest sign, is not the sign that makes the blind to see. It is not the sign that made the deaf to what? That made the deaf to hear. It is not the sign that made the world, the cripple to walk. The greatest sign, it is the sign that Jesus exhibited on the cross. Praise God. I say praise God. We are coming to that. So what am I trying to say? Children of God, if you have agreed with me that 99% of signs that happen in churches are not from God, so the question now is, why are Christians, why are believers so much running after signs and wonders? Look at John chapter 4, verse 48. John 4, 48. Jesus said something. Then he said, then what? Then said Jesus unto what? Unto him. And said ye what? Ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Must we wait for signs and wonders before we believe? Must Christians, must believers wait for signs and wonders before they believe? Do you know that times when we come to vigil like this, or when we come to church service like this, when you ask a brother, a sister, how was the service today? If nobody falls under anointing, that brother will say that, that sister will say that the program was not powerful. So we have come to an age, an age or a generation that the only way we rate service to be too powerful is when somebody fall under anointing. Ah. Brother, there are some hidden things that happen in the realm of the spirits, that happen in the spirit world, that is beyond falling under anointing. Oh, you are not getting me. So don't put your eye that the service was too powerful because people fall under anointing. Because the blind see. Blind will see and still go to hell. The deaf will hear and still go to hell. The cripple will walk and still go to hell. But there's one sign that will take you to heaven. And that sign is the sign that makes a sinner to become a saint. Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. And that sign that will make a sinner to go to, that will change a sinner, brother, stand away, that will change you. At times, that sign is not visible. Oh, you don't get me. Mama, please, Mama, just stand up for a minute. Mama, you are a teacher. I'm your learner calling. We teachers, they know they value us. You know why? Why they are not? Let me persuade this point more. Somebody paid me, called me to teach her. She called me to teach her daughter. And she paid me 15,000 naira for her daughter for a month. Then something happened that something happened that warranted them to travel. So I have taken the daughter for 2 weeks, just remaining 2 weeks to complete the lesson. Do you know what the woman told me? She told me that I should refund the money. Praise God. Then I have to make her to understand that even if I have taught your daughter for 1 day and there's a change of life, it's better than that 30 days in the month. Praise God. So we teacher will suffer because our work is not seen. It is different from a bricklayer. When a bricklayer comes to lay block, what happens? You will see what he's doing. Am I correct? But teachers' productivity or teachers' output rather, it takes years to be seen. It's long times. Making you to understand that when the Holy Ghost comes to work in you, everybody in the church may not know. But you within you, you know what is happening. And that is the greatest sign. Thank you, Father. Sit down, God bless you. Praise God. I say praise God. See, we live in a generation that we need to be careful. See, we need to be careful. A friend of mine, he called me his father. This one happens to me. I saw it personally. He used to call me his father. I brought the gospel to him in 2006. As God may have it, 2007, he gave his life to Christ. I will cut this script and send to him. Now, after that, one thing I love about this, my friend, is that he's very bold. He was the first person that took me. We traveled on the sea for hours, going to a particular village where I don't know. Praise God. So in that village, after the ministration and everything, something happened that when he used to call me Danfo, meaning that fish in a river that lacks no water. So my gift that whether I'm prepared, I'm not prepared. Once I take mic, I flow. Now, when he called me to come and minister, I did my ministration. It was powerful. And after the ministration, he took the mic. He said, somebody here, you will receive your sight. Somebody here, he keeps emphasizing on this. He keeps saying this. I never knew that there's an arrangement that has been made. Praise God. So after everything, to cut the whole story short, he said, there is a brother here that you can't see. And the brother said, yes, man of God, I'm here. I cannot see. And I saw another brother that led that brother to the world, that led that brother forward. Now, when that brother was brought forward, then what happened? He began to pray. He said, Lord, anything that has made you to remain blind, I command you now, receive your sight. Can you see? You can see. What am I putting on? White. Oh, glory to God. You are not clapping, church. Glory to God. The brother can see. So the whole church was jubilating. The whole church was so happy because a brother who cannot see can see. Hey. Then after the service, it was late night. I couldn't go home. So I decided to go and pass over night in his place. Lo and behold, that brother that received his sight, follow us to this my friend's house. I'm telling you what I saw. He followed us to his brother's house. So when that my prophet Frank, when he opened, when he on the light, I look closely. Now the brother where I know saying no be blind, now he receive his sight. I went to the brother. I said, brother, I know you now. What happened? When did you become blind? He said, brother, I no go understand. I went to my friend. I said, friend, I know this brother from Kirikirina. All of us will stay together. What happened? When did he become blind? He said, brother, the best thing you can do to bring souls is do some certain things that people, members cannot understand. But it's between you and the arrangee and the arrangier. Praise God. It baffles me. That is the age. That is the age we are. We are in the age whereby the rate of arrangee to all in the name of to exhibit signs and wonder have grown wide. Has gone wide. That if you are not careful, that is why as a Christian, you must have a discernment spirit. Because if you don't have that discernment spirit, automatically, anything can happen. And the worst part of it, that we that call ourselves Christians, we are still part of this that run from churches to churches, all in the name of seeking for signs. Hey, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Isaiah 8, verse 18. What it says, behold, I, read it together. Behold, everybody read. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given to me are for what? Are for signs and for wonders. So why will I be running here and there when I know I am a carrier of signs and wonders? I should not be running from churches to churches because I am a sign. When you see me, you see a sign. Is there anything happening? I am a sign because the Bible says, as many that believe, this sign shall follow them. So why will you be running from churches to churches? Something is wrong with us. The Bible said that the endless creation waited for what? For the manifestations of the sons of God. The Bible says in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says we are royal priesthood. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of God. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are gods. So I'm not. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's look at the introduction. He said what? Many have become obese with signs, ignoring the real message God is communicating. This is where denomination misses it. The wonders and signs are not the message. The wonders and the signs are not the message, but are attraction. But many have left the message and focused on the signs. Permit me to say that signs do not save, but the message saves. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. So what is the message, Oga Pastor? After you move your leg, after the blind receive their sight, what is the message? Don't only show us the signs. Pastors, don't only show the signs. After the display of powers, Oga Pastor, Oga Prophet, what next? The message is, let my people go, that they may worship me in truth and in spirit. Many pastors in the world have caged their members with signs and wonders. Oga Pastor, the evidence that God is with you is not the evidence that God is with you is not the signs. Only but the message. The message comes before the signs. And many, praise God. I say praise God. The message comes before the signs. Let's see. Exodus chapter 7. He said, well, and Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded them. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants. And it became what? That rod became what? Serpents. But listen to me. Before that, Exodus chapter 7, something happened in Exodus chapter 5, Exodus chapter 6. Moses and Aaron were having a encounter with God. And in the process of having a encounter with God, God gave them a message. What was the message? Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Making you to understand that signs come second, message come first. The message was, let my people go. It was when they got to that Pharaoh's place that the signs was exhibited, that the sign was displayed. And when that sign was displayed, the Bible says that even Pharaoh's magicians, they also have the sign. Praise God. They brought their own sign, making you to understand that when sign jammed sign, what happened? The lesser sign bowed. Praise God. Why would the lesser sign bow? Because the lesser sign was not with the message. Who was with the message? Moses. What was the message? Let my people go. So why are we in a generation where they are showing someone signs and wonders, and people are running after these signs and wonders? And these people that are running after these signs and wonders, they know that these places where they are going to, they don't have the message. But because that is how they have been built. They have already been built to see the signs, celebrate the signs, worship the signs, but to listen to the message is far from them. So, Simon notes, every sign and wonder, it either comes from God or man or devil. Any sign you see that any person is exhibiting or displaying is coming from God, is coming from the devil. In fact, I'm not even sure if it's coming from man. But we see that at times, these motivational speakers, they use their knowledge to exhibit, in fact, use their intellectuality to arrange some signs, thinking that it's a sign, but it's not a sign. Praise God. Let's go further. The next line. Now, look at this. Signs are not the message. Signs are not the message. Signs only draw attention. The purpose of that sign is to draw your attention. But they are not the end goal. They are not the message. They are not the message. I don't know how many of you grew up in village. If you grew up in village, I grew up in village, and I'm proud to say it, because we village people, we are better than people that grew up in Lagos. I agree, say amen. Praise God. I say praise God. Okay, for you to know that we are better. When I was small, I used to carry a hook with rope, then look for what do you call it? Say earthworm or fish or crayfish, as the case may be. You will put the what? You will put the crayfish or whatever thing you have as a bait to the hook. And when you take it, you are taking it to the river. Once you get to the river, you are going to the river to catch fish. Am I correct? So when you get to the river, what do? I did it. You will do what? You will let down the what? The hook with the rope inside the river. And when you let down the hook with the rope inside the river, what happens? You notice something. I have observed it. Those big fish, oh, they do not come. Who are those that will run first? Those small fish, they are the ones that will run first. Why are those small fish running first? Because they are baby Christians. They believe so much on signs and wonders. So they are the ones that will run first. But the big fish will be one side. To him, he said, wait till they happen to yourself. What is going on? I'm seeing the blind. The blind receive his sight. Wow. That's why many people gather. Wonderful. I'm seeing miracle. That is wonderful. Then you'll be one side observing and watching what is going on. Then what he's observing, he's trying to see that, okay, after all these small fish have seen the wonder, they have eaten and everything. So what next? It is what next the big fish is after. It is not the miracles. Oh, celebrate Jesus for yourself. We are not small fishes. We are big fishes. Praise God. Science can be counterfeited, but the message cannot. As we saw in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11. Let's go further. I'm not true. Okay, leave the scripture. We have read that scripture before. Okay, let's read that scripture. Let's read Exodus chapter. Now, then Pharaoh also called the wise men. You see that? And the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like what? In like manner with their enchantments. So you can see that when Aaron turned to serpents, what happened? Those magicians, they did exactly the same thing. But were they with the message? You are not answering me. Were they with the message? But they have the sign. So which means that the sign Christ is speaking is like when rain falls, both unjust and what? Both unrighteous and what? And unrighteous. But the righteous one has the message. And that message can never be counterfeited. Celebrate Jesus. The next one, see, signs can be misleading. The signs we are seeing, it can be misleading if not anchored to truth or by truth or with truth. That is why in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Matthew 24, verse 24, what do you say? He said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders in so much that if it will be possible, but they can never deceive the elect, because the elect are big fishes. Let's go to the next slide. Not all signs are from God. Don't be led by sign, be led by the word. Go to the next slide. Now, the message is the true powers, or the true power rather. That is the message. The message comes first in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, where we read, before any sign, God gave Moses the message. The signs were meant to support the message. But we live in a generation where the sign is supporting the word, which is not good. It's not supposed to be. But rather, the sign is supposed to support the message, not to replace it. The message saves, not the signs. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The message saves, not the sign. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of that sign that Christ told us that makes a sinner to become a saint. I am not ashamed of that. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that what? That believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Praise God. Let's go for that. Go to the next one. Now, someone notes, many are so excited. Many Christians are highly excited about signs. Why are we so excited when signs are being displayed? As if it's the paramount. As if it's the most important thing. No. No. But signs do not save. The gospel message does. That is why you must run away from such churches that display powers here and here, here and here, here and here. But when it comes to the real word of God, they are far. The next line. Modern error. We live in a generation where they have the sign, they have the wonders, but they do not have the substance. They do not have the word. The word is far. I thank God for Bride Assembly Church. I'm not saying it to please anyone, but I want you to know that in Bride Assembly Church, the word of God is preached. The word of God is preached here. You may not understand, but I am sure and I am convinced of what I just said now. Because why? I am from denomination. Do you know that on Sundays, some people will gather on Sunday, all they do is displays of powers. All they do is testimony. All they do is praising man of God. All they do, all kinds of things. And at the end of everything, a sinner that comes to the church to receive the word of God goes back home the same. That is not the purpose why Christ came. Christ came not just for us to experience the sign, have the sign. He came so that you will receive the message that will make you. The Bible says if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Signs cannot make you to be a new creature. It is the gospel, the word of God that will make you to be a new creature. Many pastors focus on the signs without preaching the word. Oga pastor, I said it before, after the power display, what next? Give me 1 Timothy chapter 4, 3 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 to 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't. But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. But when thou in all things, okay, praise God. So you can see that is the age where we are, that people cannot endure sound doctrine. They cannot be comfortable when the word of God is being preached, but they are so excited, so happy when signs and wonders have been displayed. What a pity generation. No wonder Jesus called it adulterous and wicked generation. He says some ministers hold members captive with signs without giving them the word, the truth that sets free. In John chapter 8, verse 33, did he say, thou shalt, okay, he said, ye shall know the signs, all right? Is it how it is written? Read with me now. Ye shall know the sign. What did he say? Ye shall know the truth. And what will happen? And the truth shall make you free. Not the signs. Let's go further. The next slide. He said, the real evidence God is with you, the real evidence that God is with me, is the message. Not the sign. Prophetess, prophets, ministers, whoever you call yourself, the real evidence that God is with you is not the sign. It is the message. John chapter 17 verse 8. What did he say? John 17 verse 8. For I have given unto them, is it the signs? I have given unto them. Is it the signs? What did he say? For I have given unto them the what? The words which thou gave me. And they will have. They have received them and have known surely that I came out from where? From thee. And they have believed that thou sent me. Glory to God. Mark chapter 16 verse 20. What did he say? Mark 16, 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord was working with them and confirming the word. God was confirming what they preach, not confirming signs. He was confirming the word, not the sign. So the word has to go first. And when the word goes, sign follows. Hallelujah. Give me another one. Let's go to another slide. Another slide. Let's round it up. He said, what is the message? Listen to me, children of God. What is the message? In Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell them, thus saith the Lord, God of Hebrews, let my people go. That is the message. Do you know we live in a generation where these great men of God have caged their members with signs and wonders? And they know, they are sure of it, they are aware, they know, and they are purposely doing it all in a name to make you a member, permanently member in church, but not in Christ. Permanently member. So they can do all their brother cabra. They can do everything possible to ensure to enslave you, to remain there. We saw it in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We saw it. Yes, thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. There's something that happened there as I ran off. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was what? Baha, Jesus. Mosipu Baha. Go and tell that brother to remove that bar. Praise God. Please, if you see him, I know we will not see because he should be in hellfire now. Praise God. But as we read this quote, we see whether he will be in hellfire or not. Mosipu Baha, Jesus. Are you getting something? They will call it Holy Ghost Baptism Church. But when you get there, they will tell you, speak as I speak. Speak as I speak. But it is called Holy Ghost. So which means that even the Holy Ghost they are calling, they don't know him. Oh, Jesus. They can call his sweet name, Ba. But yet, Ba is using magician power. Let's read that scripture. I said, I don't know. Let's read that scripture. So, okay. Whose name was called? Okay, verse 7. Which was with the deputy of the country. The Sergeant Paulus, a prominent man, a very prominent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desire to hear the word of God. This prominent man was desiring God. Why are pastors so wicked? Children of God want to know God, but you are blind them with signs and wonders. Why? Let's finish that scripture. Let's finish that scripture. I want to run away with it. But Eliman the Sosoria also is his name by interpretation. We stood Paul and Banner, Paul and Silas. They said to Paul and see, this prominent man, we will not allow you. You see, we will do everything possible to ensure that you will not preach to this man. Enemies of God. Enemies of God. He said, we stood Paul, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, and set his eyes on him, and said, oh, full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of devil, thou enemy of righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right way, the word of the Lord? Verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be what? Blind. Thou shalt remain blind until this prominent man receive the word of God. Oh, these men were determined. They know the power of the word of God. They know that the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. When he pierces him, he breaks you. They know. Glory to God. And seeing the sun for a season, and immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed. Glory to God. But when he saw what was done, he believed. Then he astonished at the doctrine of the word of God. At the word of God. Praise God. Please give me the last scripture as we round up. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at what Acts chapter 8 from verse 9. What did he say? Acts 8 verse 9. Jesus is the message. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of the Samaria, giving out to himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed. They listened to him. Everybody was worshiping him. Everybody was praising him. Everybody was thanking him. Everybody was doing everything just because the man is displaying power, unknown to them that this man is using a strange fire. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, from the least to the saying that this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Go on. But when they believed Philip preaching the thing concerning the kingdom of God, glory to God, glory to God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Both men and women. Praise God. Give me Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus is the message. Don't live because of the sign. Jesus is the message. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. And God, which of the sundry time, has what? And in diverse means, has what? Speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Go on. But in these last days, in this last day, who is our message? Who is our message? Who is our message? Who is our message? If you know, you shout it now. Who is our message? Signs and wonders. Is it our message? Is it our message? Jesus is our message. Let's take another scripture. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Acts 10, 36. Acts 10, 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching the peace by Jesus Christ. He is the what? He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. Praise God. Praise God. Look at another scripture. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Go on. Now, he said what? There is there salvation any other. For there is what? No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except that name, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Leave that. Let me read the last one. It said, God is not just showing power. We are moving from the era, because this is homegoing time. It is not a time where Christians should be running after signs and wonders. No, it is homegoing time. And in this homegoing time, God is not just only showing power, but God is calling people out of Egypt. He's calling them out of sin. He's calling them out of bondage. It is time to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is the message. Hallelujah. Bow down your head. We come to draw. Draw, bow your head. Draw. Draw from you again. Yeah. Yeah. Talk to God. I have come to draw. Draw. Draw.
Draw.
And draw. Draw. Oh, draw from you again. Yeah. the end. I have come to draw.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. You've been blessed by those expositions. Use your hand and worship the Lord. Amen. Any question for Uzo to answer? Pastor Uzo, come. Everybody shall answer for himself.
Well done, sir. Your message is really very practical. At times, I invite people to the church. You say message before signs and wonders. And how I do it, I look at who you are. Like the person, somebody I was introducing Bride Assembly to on Thursday. I saw her. I know that her need is how to make heaven and rapture. I brought the message. I brought the word first. But there are some people, they still novice. They are not there at all. And they are going through one problem or the other. What I say is come to Bride Assembly. If you come, these things will disappear. How do you reconcile it? Am I talking about signs and wonders before message? How do you advise me that I bring the message first? Because as for them, they are not ready for message. What they want is that the pain they are going through should disappear.
All right. Very, very, very interesting question. Can we appreciate God for that question? Okay, let me correct one impression. It's a statement you made that they are not ready for the message. You are not the message. It is wrong for you to make that statement. They are not ready for the message. Why? Because you are not the message. Jesus is the message. So if Jesus is the message, how he will give them the message is not of you. I don't really get my point. Do you agree with me? So you cannot rate anybody off. You can't tell that this brother, this sister is not for the message. No. All you are to do is to give the message. Allow he who wants to perform the work, do the work. It is the work of the Holy Ghost. So when you have that mindset, automatically, you carry out your best, then leave the rest to God. But your question now is, you have some sisters that to you, you felt, you believe that there's a need to introduce signs to them first. Let them see signs first, okay? Then before you can now preach the word of God to them, there is nothing wrong at that. That is why the message says, focus on the message. I'm not ruling out sign, because Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them. We are the carrier of sign. The sign are to follow us. Do you get the point? So whether the sign will come first or the word will come first, it is not the issue. But the most important thing is that make sure that while you are executing that, what should be in your mind is the message, not the sign.
Amen. Any other question? Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, our teacher. So I want to ask, if God knew that sign were not the real message, why would he now attach it with the message? Because message was that, let my people go. Then he went ahead and also gave Moses a sign. What was the significance of the signs?
All right, thank you. Let's see John, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. Matthew 12, 39. What did he say? Matthew 12, 39. Matthew 12, he said, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They seeketh after what? After a sign. So we live in a generation. If you notice very well, the reason why God gave, if you read the story of that Moses very well, you notice that God was telling Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But Moses was demanding for a sign. Moses was asking, he said, Lord, if I get there, how will they know that you sent me? So I think I've answered your question. That we continue.
Any other question? One more there.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I would like you, Tisha, to reconcile this very important topic. Christianity of today and education. Using Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter, or Apostle Paul and other apostles of the Bible. God bless you, sir.
I'm not clear with the question. Maybe like that you, way answer the question.
I would like you to clarify or to balance Christianity of today and the place of education.
Okay.
Using Apostle Paul and any other apostle of the Bible as a case.
All right, since it's outside of my message, that will continue. God bless you.
No. Is it outside the message?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. What is the question again?
Christianity of today and education. Balance it up in the study using Apostle Paul.
No, I will not use Apostle Paul. I will use Abel Damina. It creates confusion if you bring worldly education to spiritual matters. That is what Abel Damina and his group are doing. It's a tool that Satan is using. Education. Praise the Lord. And I observed that Abel Damina replied me. Hallelujah. I observed that if Abel Damina would listen to me, he also was very, very raw. He even said, see his head. That tells you the extent of the carnality that such line of faith takes them. When they begin to use gutter language, see his head. What has my physical appearance got to do with my spiritual well-being? Now, he said that I said he has PhD. He said for my information that he has 2 PhD degrees. Not one. He said power 2. That is his language of his PhD. And that is confirming why he is power 2 away from the gospel. Power 2. What I'm trying to establish, I was not running down his academic achievements. I am not against education. My own wife has 2 master's degrees. 2. I'm not against it. And she's still acquiring more. She's even still reading now. But it has nothing to do with salvation. I am saying that if you are going to use your academic approach the gospel the same way you approach your academics, you will mess it up. If you want to understand the things of salvation, lean to the Holy Ghost. Go to the Holy Ghost. Be humble. He will teach you. He will teach you. Apostle Paul had degrees like Abel Damina. But what did he say? He said, all this is, he count them as what?
Dung.
As far as your education is, you know, you are so much attached to it until you claim you are called. If Jesus called you, all titles you bear on earth will be dropped. You will hold on to the title that he has given you. And he has not made you a doctor. He has made you either an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet, a teacher. These are the titles he gave us. So that doctor, whether it is academic doctor power 2 or power 1, or you are a professor which is higher than doctor power 2, it has nothing to do with salvation. So don't flaunt that as a qualification for you to be in the ministry and claim an authority with the interpretation of the word of God. That is all I'm telling you, Abel Damina. You must be very intelligent to have up to doctorate degree. But you can see that all that you read in the university, you are not able to apply it as far as the gospel is concerned. You can see those who are medical doctors, NHA, even his wife, they are all medical doctors. But you can see it has nothing to do with salvation. So you can see whatever that will achieve is different from when you come to the gospel. God does not need your educational qualification. He doesn't even use it. He will drop it, and then you come into the school of the Holy Ghost. Who is our teacher? Who is our teacher? It's the Holy Ghost. Abel Damina, go and get the Holy Ghost. Amen. First Corinthians, let me not go, waste my time reading any scriptures because they are there. We all see it. Amen. The spiritual man judges all things, not the academic man. And now we know no man now after the flesh. If we know no man after the flesh, that means we will not know you by the degrees you have acquired. We will not know you because you're a general. You were a general in the army. Do I use my rank in the military to attach to me? When it comes to the gospel, no, you dump it and you become pastor. That is what the gospel is supposed to be. And when you humble yourself, because these degrees puff you up, because you flaunt it as a reason for people to listen to you. No, no. And that is what we mean by conversion. You have to be converted. Your brain must be converted from academic doctorate degree holder philosophy to the simple knowledge of the Son of Man, revealed only by the Holy Ghost to you. That's all I'm saying. That's why they are creating confusion everywhere. How can you look at the Bible and say water baptism has expired? How can you look at the Bible? If you look at it philosophically, being a doctor of philosophy, you will knock it off as you have done, and you have knocked off and you have gone off. Water baptism is what connects you to what happened on the cross of Calvary. You downplay it, you know nothing about salvation. Praise the Lord. So that sister, you are the one that provoked this answer. Thank you very much. Are we happy to be here this morning? Let me see the evidence that you are happy.